Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Okay, welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you could tune in today, and we will do our best to give you updated real estate, commercial real estate news, and we will also talk about some tax issues, possibly some U.S. debt issues, Social Security, Medicare, etc., etc. Before you take any type of financial action, we suggest you consult with your existing tax, legal, real estate, investment advisors. Make sure you understood correctly what was dispensed on the show, whether it's my show or anybody else's, and then let those advisors who are familiar with your unique facts and circumstances give you some counsel. Hopefully they know what they're doing with these topics. And if you don't have any such advisors, feel free to go to our website at beaplannershow.com, and you'll see a link for forms there towards the right side, middle of the screen. And if you'll just fill out at least the step one client profile form, it'll give us enough information to undertake a phone call with you, which you can schedule from the call link that's right next to the forms link. So with that said, let's see, today we're going to talk about more news, new news, as the case may be, and then I do have a private placement memorandum that I intend to discuss as we get further towards the end of the show, and it's kind of a unique situation. It's the reason, excuse me, that I picked it today. You know, there's occasionally you see something that is not the norm, and I'm going to suggest to you that, you know, I was just listening to the show that comes on before mine here for a few minutes while I was preparing, and I'm not sure which world those stories come out of, but it's not the real world, I can tell you that. And this opportunity that I'm going to discuss will provide you a lot of reasons that you know, don't do some of the things that you just heard. And the real risk, I'll tell you, the real risk in this whole private partnership syndication space is paying someone to consult with you or, quote, teach you that didn't know what the heck they're talking about. And I tell you, you've really got to be careful when you hear people that act like they've been to the finish line many times in their investment career, and the reality is they do not know whereof they speak, and it's kind of scary to hear some of the things, you know, in terms of vetting syndicators. You know, there's syndicators that were in the program that I'm mentioning that they're no longer on the wall of fame, as it were. These were syndicators that haven't fared too well in the current environment. And yet, you know, it's I'm not sure who you got to know, but one of them who's had at least one property go back, may have a couple more because he's trying to raise money to fund salvaging those two properties. The current partners haven't been willing to put up the money requested on cash calls. They don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, so therefore it would appear if they're not willing to fund a cash call, what they're saying is, hey, give us the dilution. We'll take the dilution. We think that's the best option. And, of course, for those that aren't familiar with the concept of having your ownership interest diluted, it means that when there's a cash call and you don't cover your share, then somebody else will necessarily have to, assuming the deal didn't go under, and whoever does cover it is going to get a little piece of yours and other folks' interests that didn't cover it. But, you know, that party who, you know, great guy, it's hard not to like him, but I don't like the fact that I've got clients that have lost every nickel of the retirement money that they put into those transactions. And yet, if you listen to the show that I just listened to, boy, you would think that platform has found some way to defeat reality in terms of what's going on in the market right now. And they not only are promoting this guy, they're giving him the keys to the kingdom, so to speak, putting him on at their expo that may have just happened. He's a featured speaker. And I don't begrudge anybody the chance to resuscitate themselves when they've had some hardship. But my gosh, you know, let's be truthful. Let's approach real estate from the same standpoint that life happens. Look, there's risk, all right. And if you act like that you somehow avoid the struggles that the real world avoids, I would tell you, you need to turn and run from that scenario instead of taking a chance. Again, your big risk is that you're going to get some bad advice and you don't know better. You don't know the reality of what's going on. I've been around the local syndication scene for 20 plus years now as the, who is it? Traveler's Commercial or Farmer's Commercial, you know, I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two. That applies double in this case. And I'm just telling you, be careful. Be careful. And for those of you that are contemplating joining any platform or mentor group, feel free to give me a call and let's discuss what some of your options are. And I'm going to suggest you've got a lot of options that involve getting some real education, talking to some real syndicators, and just hang on to your wallet, keep your chicken coop locked, because these people are looking to raid your chicken coop, and I'll help you if you decide you want that help. Avoid that. After all, at the end of the day, we're dealing with math, and unfortunately, you may not be adept at syndication math as we are, but beyond that, we understand whether the assumptions are flawed, whether the history is flawed, and when you're buying an asset potentially that somebody else is losing money on currently, you need to be real careful based on the current dynamics. And for those of you that buy the notion that we make money in down markets, we is a relative term. And if you're part of the we that has the asset that you paid, you bought, say, 2 years ago, 3 years ago with a bridge loan, because 99% of all deals that were done were bridge loans. I'm not sure where the moderator of that show, the host, gets his information. To act like we don't do that unless we need to, I mean, come on, that's a joke. And to think that you're going to routinely refinance in 3 years, 4 years, your bridge debt, good luck. I tell you what, call that syndicator up that is being featured at the current expo. Ask him why he couldn't just refinance. Pretty easy to do, quote unquote, right? No, it's not. Unless you got a story to tell that involves you doing what you said you would do in terms of execution, you're not getting a refinance. There's a lot of deals trying to knock on that refinance door, and unfortunately, they're not getting in because they don't have the story to tell. They haven't executed, and it's just not as routine as somebody would have you to believe. But in any event, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take our first break, and we'll come back and actually take a look at a few of these articles, and then I'm going to save time in the last segment to take a look at a transaction that's another, I'm not going to call it a salvage job because the people that owned it are losing every penny, I believe, or they're losing a lot of their original capital, and I believe they may be losing all of it. I don't have some of those details, but I can get them. I can sure get them. So I'll let you know here later this week or on the Sunday show what I find out. Anyway, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll be back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little more.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at NPRoss.com. Nathan at NPRoss.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Big dreams and faded dreams.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I think I finished my little rant there. And I guess, you know, it just really rubs me the wrong way when I hear people try to put a spin on investing in real estate private partnerships when, you know, there is no spin, folks. It's the real world, period. He could have stopped there instead of trying to make you feel like, oh, they figured it out. They vet their syndicators. Oh, really? Well, you know, we could talk about a few of those if they'd like, and I think you'd wonder, well, gee, what were you vetting when you vetted, quote-unquote, the syndicators. They've got some real issues, just like all the platforms do. Why? Because that's life. And right now, the debt markets are upside down, and you know, the rental growth rates are in decline in many markets. I think I've got a couple articles here. I know I've got one on or a couple on cap rates, which is all part and parcel. And I'm not sure how you know, I just barely caught the news about the deal that made, you know, I don't know, ginormous return, which I'm not sure which deal that was. But, hey, you know, grand slams happen every once in a while. But to kind of to try to cast that as the norm, no, not going to happen. And I'll take that challenge. And, you know, we can name names if we need to on how most transactions are not going to generate what was that, you know, a 3,000% return, whatever it was. In any event, so turning to the news, we had just a smidgen of good news this week on the go broke, quote unquote, dates for Social Security and Medicare. They got pushed back a year, but we still have you know, a sad state of affairs looming. Both programs warned, but I'm going to pull that article up, and let's see. Trying to remember. Oh, okay. The trustees of Social Security and Medicare, or trustees for Social Security and Medicare, warn policy changes are needed or else the programs won't be able to pay full benefits to retiring Americans. This would be back, pushed back to like 2035. That's 1 year longer than before this report was reassessed. You know, this is an annual report, and 2034 was when we were going to have the across-the-board cuts, unless something's done sooner rather than later. But it's the improving economy, which I'm, you know, I'm not sure what Social Security and Medicare don't have to consider inflation and doesn't have to consider the cost of everything, you know. I don't know, healthcare. I mean, geez, I it's wonderful news. Trust me, I'm not complaining. If they're telling us that I may actually make it to full retirement age and be able to start getting checks, and hopefully they don't get cut 23% to 25% several years later, because that's what's going to happen if we can't get a grip on these funding levels. Medicare is getting a 5-year lifeline and can continue full payouts through 2036. So again, I would take all of these projections with a grain of salt, given how wrong they've been in the past. But you know, it's hey, if you're optimistic as the trustee or one of the trustees for Social Security or Medicare, wonderful. I'd rather you be optimistic than pessimistic, but I don't see much hope for these programs to continue the way they are with the rate of new participants every month. And, you know, we're into the baby boomer years, the amount of people coming online and looking to start collecting their payments or be covered is off the charts. But anyway, get educated, folks. Start looking at this and think about what you can do with your set of facts and circumstances to deal with your finances without relying on the government. I mean, just remember, Social Security was never intended to be your retirement plan. It was going to supplement. And Medicare, I guess, was never intended to be your health insurance, although it's certainly become that. And I'm not nearly as negative about Medicare. I understand the need, and I would tell you that, you know, there's no question that as a country we place a significant premium on taking care of our elderly, as long as we kids don't have to do it now, right? And I tell you that, you know, sitting here in Thailand, in the land of families that take care of their elderly, and you know, it's just a totally different culture. And I tell you, now they don't take care of people like Social Security and Medicare does, so there's trade-offs, but I tell you what, I have very few worries about being put off or put out to pasture someday in a old folks home. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing. I understand circumstances are what they are. It's interesting how the rest of the world acts at time versus the way we do in America. Anyway, okay, back to our news article list. And by the way, I should have mentioned this list of articles is available for your reading pleasure on baplannersshow.com. If you go to the resources tab and click the down arrow, you'll see a news page. That's the page you want to be on. And whether you're doing it now or later when you have time, that's fine. But we've curated, I guess you might say, these articles. Didn't write any of them, but we review a lot of content on a daily basis, and I try to pull articles that are germane to the topics we discuss. Second article is a multifamily article, multifamily rent growth trailing seasonal norms. So what's new? You know, it seems like for a while now we've been talking about the effective rental rates that are being lower, and you know, due to concessions and cost to locate new tenants, that's you know, affecting the current asking rents. That's the effective asking rents, rents after the concessions. And so in any event, they fell 0.1%, which is, I believe, if they're calculating the way, or they're defining it the way I do, that's 0.1%. So it's a little bit of a dip, not much, but it is a lot of money when you look at it across the pool of multifamily properties. The pre-pandemic norm was a 0.6% increase in a year's first quarter. So this is a seasonal look at the current rate. And the pandemic triggered a time when seasonal trends disappeared as rent surged. And if you were trying to rent an apartment at that point, or a single family home, you no doubt saw those rents surge real time. Crazy how much rental rate growth we saw. And of course, everybody was a syndicator at that point. You had to really be careful. Even the good syndicators got sloppy, including the gentleman I mentioned earlier. I mean, there's nobody better. You know, two-time Owner of the Year award winner in the National Apartment Association, one of the best. And yet, you know, they got sloppy and did half a dozen deals just in rapid-fire succession a couple years back. And started throwing the confetti in the air before they got to the finish line. And I doubt you'll see that webinar again. But, you know, I just have a way of remembering things like that, because when I grew up in the mid-80s, when I started my CPA practice, it arguably was one of the worst times in the history of Houston to start a business, and the real estate sector was on fire. It was in such bad shape, and I guess the current market, the current office building market, is just as bad, if not worse, than it was in 1985. But we've talked before about just how dire of a situation that was, and that was before there were a lot of syndicators, and I think the developers, some of whom committed suicide, I guess they didn't learn to use equity the next time around or to raise equity, but the ones that were left did. And now there's less debt, more equity going into these transactions, so it reduces some of the calamity that might result. But it doesn't taste any better when it's your money that's being lost, and I'll tell you, that has not changed. The market goes up, the market goes down. Some people make money in the up market, and some people make money in the down market. And if you think you've figured out how to do that, that's wonderful. And, you know, there's many other things in life that you no doubt don't need help doing, because you've got the crystal ball and you can see everything. And that's, I guess, when you get in the real estate investor club business and sell your little piece of your knowledge base to everybody else. But anyway, so according to RealPage, the change is cause, this change in a reduction of the effective rents, is due to the deliveries. We've had some new units come into many markets across the U.S., and the absorption of those new units has not kept pace with the delivery levels. And so record-breaking delivery levels of multifamily units for 2023 and 2024 is going to be even more, 50% over what we had last year for 2023, because, you know, when the pipeline gets to flowing, you can't just put the brakes on. That's not how construction works. That's not how contracts work. And so you've got a lot more capacity coming into the markets, and the rates really in most classes of apartments, A, B, C, D, etc., the effective rental rates are going to go down because the number of tenants necessarily doesn't keep up with the number of new units at some point. And, you know, it kind of messes the equilibrium between the supply and demand. Back when apartment occupancy and rent growth were hitting record highs across the nation, 2021, 2022, there was a huge surge in multifamily permitting activity, according to RealPage. And as a result, 2023, when all those permits finally turned into construction, which turned into completed units, there were nearly 440,000 units that were completed during 2023. And for 2024, scheduled completions total another 670,000 or so apartments, which blows past the record volume by about 50%. It's going to be a huge boom for tenants. Temporarily, at least, you're in the driver's seat. And it's not necessarily a one-sided picture for the owners, though, and the landlords. And when you look at how the average median price, how high that's gotten for a new home or to buy a home, forget about whether it's new or not, and you look at the median income that's necessary to qualify for the loan, and you look at the interest rates that are starting to tick back up on the mortgage loans, you know, there's going to be a lot of renters. It's going to be cheaper to rent if you could even qualify to buy. you can rent a lot more home than you can buy for a fraction of the price. And I would tell you, depending on where you're at in the country, it's anywhere from a 25% factor of where, you know, you can literally rent a house for 25% of what it would cost you to buy an equivalent set of amenities. And depends on the class of the apartment, location, etc. But bottom line is, there's very few markets where the new product that's coming into the market is going to be able to raise the rates, the owners, you know, the landlords. So it's going to likely depress pricing is the conclusion of this article. Okay, let's talk about a couple more here before we take our break. Let's see. Something we're going to start, we've talked about it in the past, we're going to raise it again as we go into closer towards the election, is the expiring TCJA tax provisions that are going to happen 1-1-2026 unless Congress and the President acts to change it. But effectively, it's going to produce a substantial tax hike across the U.S. And the Tax Foundation, I believe, yes, this article is put out by the Tax Foundation, and just read it, scan it here briefly. At the end of 2025, the individual tax provisions in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act 2017 expire all at once. That's the individual tax provisions. Without congressional action, most taxpayers will see a notable tax increase relative to current policy in 2026. In 2026, business taxes will also be higher, 100% higher. I'm sorry, will be higher, not 100%. I was just looking at the reference to bonus depreciation. Let's start that sentence over. So in 2026, business taxes will also be higher as 100% bonus depreciation continues to phase down and the TCJA base broadeners like research and development, R&D, amortization, and a tighter limit on interest deductions remain in effect. So that excess business interest expense provision that took effect in 2018, I believe, will continue. That doesn't expire. Of course not. Anything that's going to raise taxes will continue. Policymakers may consider extending the current TCJA policy for individual tax provisions and canceling the business tax hikes. Tax Foundation estimates that permanence for the individual and the business provisions, excluding the estate tax changes, would cost $3.8 trillion over the 10-year budget window from 2025 through 2034. That's on top of the 20 trillion that were already lined up, about $2 trillion a year on average, deficits that were going to incur. And so this will be on top of that. So the Tax Foundation, in their bipartisan wisdom, has estimated that the average change in taxes paid per taxpayer under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expiration relative to current policy across each congressional district. So that's what they figured out here. This article has the data, and they show where it's going to vary depending on where you live, obviously, in the U.S. The largest average tax hikes would be experienced by taxpayers who reside where else but California. For example, the congressional district covering the San Francisco area would see an average tax hike of $16,127 per taxpayer, the highest in the U.S. Of course, these are averages, and we all know that average is not us. I mean, we're actual, right? So by contrast, northern New York City would see an average tax increase of only $807 per taxpayer under the TCJA expiration. Across all congressional districts, the average tax increase cost each taxpayer about $2,853 compared to current policy, where TCJA remains in place and the business tax hikes are canceled. Let's see, individual tax. Okay, we get into the SALT deduction. That's the local property tax. And we'll leave that for the moment. Tax Foundation estimates permanence for TCJA. If we would keep most of those provisions, it would create about 904,000 full-time equivalent jobs, ranging from more than 136,000 jobs in California and 75,000 jobs in Texas to about 1,660 new jobs in Vermont. So, good reasons to consider keeping these provisions in TCJA. Anyway, you can access that article on our website or by going to the taxfoundation.org site, and great information. I put the Tax Foundation right up there with the truthinaccounting.org site, the CFRB, I think I've got that right, .org site. That's the committee for, I can never say it right, but I believe it's the Committee for a Responsible Fiscal Budget. So, in any event, great data. It's just amazing how much money they spend. Yes, I'm sorry, the CRFB.org site is the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. So I was close, but in any event. Okay, let's take our last break, and we'll come back with more, the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for.
BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna warm it up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make it.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And let me take a quick look. It seemed like there was one other article that I wanted to just touch on briefly before we talk about proposed transaction. Let's see here. Calculating values. I'm going to save that one for tomorrow. The interest rate cap costs are surging again. And I guess I bring this up in light of what I heard on the show just before ours today. And, you know, talking about variable rates, and I didn't hear, I think the gentleman was trying to think of the term for rate caps. He got a little bit befuddled and confused as he was talking about the concept of adjusted or adjustable rates and balloon payments, which I've never heard a balloon payment described the way he did, but hey, you know, some people's understanding of real estate math is, you know, not quite the same as what I may have read in, you know, hundreds of books and education, you know, as a CPA. But in any event, you know, balloon payment can occur whether it's an interest-only loan or not. So I'm not sure where you got the notion that that's how you define balloon payment. A balloon payment can be an amortized loan that's amortized for 20 years and it's due in year five. The balloon is the amount that's due, and either you refinance it or you pay it. It's that simple, but has nothing to do with the fact that it either had or didn't have some principal being paid all along. But anyway, these are just issues. I mean, you'll learn when you get involved with some of the real estate mentors and old school investor platforms like the aforementioned, that sometimes you know, you get some information that doesn't seem to check out. Once, you know, in the light of day, you can take a look and get some other information from other sources. But anyway, interest rate cap costs are surging again, and that's going to make it tougher on multifamily folks that are hoping to refinance. A lot of financing and refinancing strategies among commercial real estate owners have become waiting games. Hold until interest rates eventually go down, putting off loan maturities or new purchases as much as possible until they can get themselves out of trouble. Yeah, it's the real world again. No need to sugarcoat it. Does it create opportunity? Yeah, you bet. Like the deal we're getting ready to talk about. One of the types of tools for floating rate interest loans have been interest rate caps, which offer some protection against increase of interest rates when some benchmarks like SOFR or assorted benchmarks. We could look at you know, the Fed funds rate. You could pull many benchmarks. And the point is, as they start going up, if your mortgage is tied to one of these benchmarks, then you're going to owe a bigger payment, which in turn puts pressure on everything else. You know, the investors likely receive less, if any, distributions. And eventually, if they go up enough, which, you know, if you back up a year and a half, the Fed raised the Fed funds rate, I believe it was 11 times, 11 clicks on the rate clock, the rates went up. And so what this article is saying, this is an article out on Globe Street, real estate data intelligence group, and it said basically, you know, at least until the rate cap fees started jumping in 2020 and the costs started to crush transactions by the following May, things continued to get worse by October, and then they kept getting worse. In 2023, the rate cap cost increases were crushing even more CRE, or commercial real estate, transactions. Concerns started to increase due to inflation. Three times, let's see, there's a growing thought that the Federal Reserve would start cutting rates three times during 2024. Hadn't happened yet. Granted that three cuts of probably 0.25 basis points each would be less than now, but the total 75 basis point amount wouldn't be terribly compelling. Yeah, that's true. That's not going to really thaw the desire to go take on additional high rate interest. But in any event, the rate cap is something that if you're looking at investing right now, you'd be wise to deal with a syndicator that has the ability to pay and negotiate as rational a rate lock scenario as possible, so that you don't end up a year or two down the road, if things continue to go up, where all of a sudden your debt service exceeds the rents that are coming in. And it's no fun being in those transactions. Okay, so I mentioned a transaction that's out there, and this is a transaction that is classified as a pre-foreclosure loan distressed asset. This is the epitome of what we were just talking about. Rates went up. They kept going up, and this nearly 300 unit property, you know, it's a 23-24 year old try 43-year-old property. Recently underwent $3 million in renovations, and supposedly this syndicator, by directly transacting with the lender, so in other words, the lender is taking the property back, it's going to provide a 27% lower basis compared to what it was originally purchased for in 2022. This, folks, this goes back to what I was saying, I guess it was on last week's show. You got to know your syndicator. If the syndicator is in 2022 did not understand or notice what was coming, by then it was pretty well foreshadowed that rates were going up a lot, and you better have reserves or you better sit on the sidelines, because it was, you know, the blood would be running in the streets, so to speak, in the commercial real estate market. Now, this syndicator is speaking a little bit like the show I heard earlier while I was waiting for my show to start, that, you know, hey, we're here, we're going to buy now, and we're automatically going to make money because we're buying it at a lower cost basis. And I would suggest that really doesn't have a whole lot to do. I don't care what it sold for 2 years ago. What's it going to sell in 2 years? Okay, or in 3 years, which is what they're suggesting this is a 3 to 5 year hold. Unfortunately, the returns that they calculate, the equity multiple, the IRR, et cetera, it looks like they're calculating a rate that's on using the low range of that 3 to 5 years as opposed to the high range. And so I'm going to suggest to you, especially, I mean, here's what's interesting is they're marketing this transaction even to the people that just lost their money in the original owners. And I tell you, that's a bitter pill to swallow. And I think I would try to wipe a clean slate and move on down the road to another project as opposed to doubling down on the one that you've already lost significant money in. And again, this could be a great syndicator. Looks like a nice property. They've got wonderful photos, lots of lighting in the photos. But I don't know. I would have to know more about what's going on with this area. It seems like it's a great location. Again, it would seem to me that if you were in this situation as the current owner, you would have somehow foreseen and raised some additional reserves, or had reserves lined up, or had a buddy, a joint venture property. If it's a great property that's going to make money eventually, I would think that, you know, you would be able to have a relief valve. But anyway, let me look. They're touting an 8% preferred return. No profit will be taken until 8% is paid out to investors. I don't like the use of, as an accountant, profit to me means expenses are less than revenues, and that's not what they're talking about here. I can promise you they're talking about cash flow. Big difference between cash flow and profit. And again, this syndicator purports to be very experienced, has many properties, a lot of beautiful properties supposedly, and I think they may have been tangential to those properties. I don't think they were the lead partner on those. But hey, still, if they're successful, good for them. That'd probably be an even better way of doing it. If they're kind of a quasi-active passive, where somebody else is having to get out of bed every morning and go run these updated, renovated Class C apartments, which I think they're calling these I don't know. It's a 1980 build, so it's vintage, I'll tell you that. But in any event, let's see. Well, I think we're here close to the end of the show. I think I'm hearing the music coming on. We'll be back tomorrow right here on the same station at 11 a.m. That's a.m. or 700 a.m. KSEV. We hope you can join us. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.